Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our consideration this morning is recorded in the 21st chapter of Matthew, verses 23 to 32. Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will likewise tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus and said, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots will enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." Here ends the text. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, there are two kinds of people in this world, Coke people and Pepsi people. Apple people and Android people. There are those who untwist an Oreo before they eat it, and others who bite right in. Some put ketchup on top of their fries, others dip as they go. In a restaurant, some will read the menu for what it offers, others will read it for what it costs. Some prefer coffee over tea, Jimmy John's over Subway. What about differences spiritually? Well, there are Catholics and Lutherans, Baptists, Methodists, Jehovah's Witnesses, and dozens more. But in the end, there are really only two groups, those who trust in Christ alone to save them, and those who don't. But our text this morning suggests that we could also divide all people into one of three groups: believer, unbeliever, and make-believer. It is the Tuesday of Holy Week. Jesus arrived in Jerusalem on Sunday to the shouts of the Passover crowd. Then he went and cleansed the temple just as he had done at the beginning of his ministry. The temple was controlled by the Sadducees. They were much more interested in money and power than they were in saving souls. And when Jesus interfered with their business on the most profitable weekend of the year, these men were livid. So they approached him. "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered with a question of his own. "I'll tell you by whose authority I did this, if you answer this question from me. The baptism of John, where was it from? From men or from God?" And the more they reasoned, the more they decided that ignorance was the best option. And that's when Jesus told the parable of the father's two sons. Both were asked to work in the vineyard. Both responded in different ways. The first said, "No, I'm not interested. I won't go." Later he changed his mind and went. The second son said, "Yes, sir, I'll go." But he never followed through. Which son did the will of his father? The response, the one who had a change of heart and went to work. Believer, unbeliever, or make-believer. Do you see the three groups? The no, I won't comes from an unbeliever. There was a time in this country when people were not very open about their unbelief. Today, they're not shy about it at all. We view them as people who need to be evangelized. They view us as people who need to be enlightened. Like the first son, they respond to the Lord's word by saying, "No thanks, I'm not interested." Who were the unbelievers Jesus was talking about? They were the tax collectors and prostitutes. Both said no to the Father's will. Both sold out for money. The prostitute sold her body for money. The tax collector sold his soul for money. Nobody had forced them into the lifestyle they chose, and every effort to change them was met with a wall of indifference. How about you? Have you ever sold out to your sinful desires and done things that you knew were wrong? Maybe you didn't even have to try to justify your actions because you really didn't care. You simply had the attitude that what I do is my business and no one else's. Maybe it wasn't a period of time that was a problem. It was a certain area of your life. You followed God's will when it came to faithfulness at work and in church. But when God talked about things like being sober or controlling your temper, you shrugged it off and shrugged off whatever you didn't want to hear. And the father went to the second son and said the same thing. That son answered, "I go, sir." That sounds a lot better, because the second son learned to hide his disobedience under a layer of piety. He was a make-believer. A make-believer says yes, sir, to his father's face, and then he shakes his fist behind his father's back. At Mount Sinai, the nation of Israel said yes to God's will. All these things the Lord has commanded us, we will do. Then they made the golden calf and worshiped it. Peter said yes to Jesus when he adamantly stated, "Even if I should have to die with you, I will in no way deny you." Not only was his yes short-lived, but it was denied with an oath. Do you promise one thing with the best of intentions and then do another? Don't we have to confess with Paul, "The good that I want to do, I don't do. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I keep doing." It's so easy to say yes to our Heavenly Father's will. And it's so easy to deny that yes by the way we live. Which of the two did the will of his father, Jesus asked. The first, they replied, "Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." It was a bombshell. It would be like saying that Hugh Hefner, despite all the damage that he's caused in the morality of our country, had a better chance of getting into heaven than America's religious leaders. Both sons were guilty. They just looked different on the outside. One sinned by what he did, the other by what he failed to do. Unbeliever or make-believer? Which do you think is more dangerous? Well, it's clearly being a make-believer. Hiding behind an outward yes and having no need to repent. And so every week we confess that we have sinned by our thoughts, our words, and our actions. We have not loved God with our whole heart. We have said yes to his commandments and then denied it with our lives. And our prayer is that God would forgive all of our hypocritical yeses and all of our disobedient no's. Believer, unbeliever, or make-believer, have you found yourself? Do you say no to God's will and later repent? Or do you say yes and never follow through? Well, thankfully, there is a third son, one the parable doesn't mention. He said yes to his father's will. He also followed through with his yes in every detail. So flawless was his record that not once but twice his heavenly father said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." So complete was his obedience that even his enemies could not dredge up a single fault or sin against him. And yet, this son was charged with every act of hypocrisy and defiance, every failure to fear and love God, every sin, whether it was committed by a leader in the church or a prostitute on the street. This son became the guiltiest of all. On him was laid the iniquity of all mankind. And isn't that exactly why Jesus came? To provide the obedience that our sinful yeses and noes could never provide. To render the price that our misdeeds demand. He shouted, "It is finished," to teach us that there's nothing left for us to do. By faith in him, we are clothed in his righteousness. God looks at us now. God sees children who always say yes to him and actually do what he commands. And that's the difference between the two sons. One has faith, the other doesn't. One repents and looks exactly like the perfect son. The other sees no need to repent and is stuck in his sin. How many people do you know who are living like the sons in his parable? Those who openly rebel against God's will. Those who piously say one thing but do something else. That includes everyone you know, even yourself. We tend to be all three. We are believers who are covered by the blood of Christ, but we also have a sinful flesh for as long as we live. How many people do you know who are not aware of the third son, the one who gives us his righteousness? The reason I ask is because today the Father is still urging us, son or daughter, go and work today in my vineyard. And this time, prompted by God's grace and empowered with his Spirit, let's be glad to answer, "Yes, Father, I will." And then eagerly go to work in his kingdom. Amen.